Jayad Dwaita Chandra Jay Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jayad Dwaita Chandra Jay Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jay Jay Sri Chaitanya Jay Nityananda.
Jay Jay Sri Chaitanya Jay Nityananda.
Jay Dwaita Chandra Jay Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jay Dwaita Chandra Jay Gaura.
So now this pastime of Lord Chaitanya's, it takes place just before, in fact it's the day before, the Rath Yatra festival. Rath Yatra festival is celebrated, traditionally at least, in sort of the middle of January or the later first half of January. That sort of time. So, you know, like 5 weeks ago, perhaps, six weeks ago. Yes, it's in our calendar. It's in our Vaishnav calendar. So it is a significant event. And to just get into it, just to make a start here, I'm going to read a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 159. And anyway, then we'll tie it in with the pastime of cleaning that temple, cleansing the Gundicha temple, which is compared to cleaning, the process of cleaning our heart and different stages and steps in the process of cleaning our hearts of unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, and so on and so forth. So let's just read this just to get a little start in principle. Nishid acha kutinati jiva himsana Labha puja pratishtadi yata upashaka gana. And this is actually Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.159, yeah, I mentioned. So the translation, some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection, such as diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. So, just in terms of the sort of the imagery which is used here, it's Lord Chaitanya speaking. Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of God, most recent incarnation of Krishna, who appeared 28 years ago. Yes. So, in terms of the development of the spiritual life of a person, he utilized the example of the development of a creeper, the growing of a creeper, beginning with, first of all, of course, the seed being planted, and then when the seed is planted and watered like that, then gradually it grows and grows, and leaves come and it grows more and more, and then gradually it becomes bigger, and then fruits come, flowers come, like this. The creeper develops and becomes mature. So Lord Chaitanya utilized this example. And there's a famous verse, I think many of you will have heard it before, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej, which means that there are many living beings, living entities, eternal persons, just wandering around in this material world, from lifetime to lifetime, and within each lifetime going through all different experiences and stages in life. But in that verse, again, it's Lord Chaitanya speaking, he says, out of those many millions and who knows how many wandering living beings, one very fortunate person, the Sanskrit term is Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan basically means extremely fortunate. So, by the grace of Krishna, meets a bona fide spiritual master. Then, by the combined mercy of the guru, the spiritual master, and Krishna, then the seed of our relationship with the Lord, with God, is planted within the heart. And then it grows, and in terms of the example, it means that when that seed of our relationship with the Lord is planted, that it grows and grows, and our attachment for the Lord develops, and gradually we rise as a creeper rises up above the ground. There, so our Krishna consciousness, the creeper of our relationship with the Lord, can rise up above the material situation to a higher level of existence, spiritual level of existence, and a personal relationship with the Lord. So this is the idea. This is the idea that through the process of Krishna consciousness, or any genuine spiritual process of developing our relationship with God, then one can make progress and develop the relationship. However, as this verse is describing here, that as your creeper, so to speak, of your relationship with the Lord is developing and growing and becoming bigger and stronger, and even maybe, or after some time, producing some fruits of love of God. But in the meantime, there may be some challenges. Any of you who are from gardening backgrounds at all, and not just, you know, that we think that pick and pay is where do vegetables come from? Pick and pay. That's where they come from. Yes, any of you who've done a little gardening, you would know, if you try to grow something, then there is competition out there. There is competition. There's all sorts of other plants that want to grow, and they would like to take over and dominate. And yeah, and just, you know, just do away with whatever nice thing you are trying to grow. These are weeds. So like this, as a person is developing in Krishna consciousness, developing their relationship with the Lord, certain challenges come in the form of different, like, habits that we may have developed over so many years or even so many lifetimes. As they say, old habits die hard. Yeah. So habits may be there, plus just by the nature of this world, There's so many different influences in society from other people and the environment, and I mean like the social environment in so many ways. So these are compared to different weeds. Could we... okay. Turn off our telephones in the meantime, please. Thanks. What should I say? The next one, next phone that causes some disturbance, well, confiscate. And sell to raise money for our temple, which we're going to build in Park Rennie. Okay. So yeah, these different types of weeds or unwanted creepers, they grow up as your bhakti, means your devotion for the Lord, is growing up and trying to grow up. Then these other things, they may also grow up too and compete and try and choke your bhakti creeper. Okay. So that's the idea in principle. That's sort of the theme philosophically in terms of concept and idea, you know, of how to live and some practical points. And it's all coming up, the discussion, these points are coming up in the context of this whole pastime of Lord Chaitanya's of cleaning that temple. For those of you who are not so familiar with the history and all the background of it, in Jagannath Puri in India on the east coast there, Orissa, every year, well, they have the very, very big temple, the Jagannath Temple, ancient temple, a couple of thousand years old. And every year, the deities in that temple, the Jagannath deities, rather extraordinary looking deities. In fact, I see Rameshwar Prabhu and Mother Mitravinda have them on the altar. Small versions, you see the three deities there in yellow. So they're the main deities in the temple. They're actually unfinished deities. That's why they look sort of, they've got certain human-type features, but they don't look typically human because they were unfinished, but then they decided just to leave them like that and worship them like that. That's another story. But anyway, every year in July, they bring out the deities and they have the Rath Yatra, the chariot festival, where those deities are placed on one chariot each and pull down the main street of Jagannath Puri, which is big, wide street specifically for that event. And they go all the way down. It is a few kilometers, not very far, maybe 3 or 4 kilometers perhaps. And then right at the other end of the road, there is this Gundicha temple, another temple, which during the year generally remains empty. Nothing really happens. But when the deities come at the end of that procession, they go into the temple and stay there for about a week or 8 days, 7 or 8 days. And then after that 7 or 8 days, then they have another Rath Yatra going back. The deities go back to the big, big temple, the main temple. So this is all the Rath Yatra festival. You know, in our Rath Yatra, particularly at least in Durban, beachfront, we also have on the last day, I think usually the last day, there's a second procession. It is... You know, we just sort of go around a bit, but we're basically, it's representing that return Rathayatra of the Jagannath deities when they go back from the Gundicha temple to the big Jagannath temple. So that temple, Gundicha temple then, it remains empty during the year, and then suddenly the deities come, and it's this massive, absolutely gigantic festival with millions of people. I mean, nobody really knows how many people. Did you ever try counting to a million in an hour? Or 3 million, it's usually 3 or 4 million people. So nobody really knows how many people, but really, there is just an awful lot of people. I see a fine coming for someone. So now, the day before the procession down to the Gundicha temple, they have to clean the temple, the Gundicha temple, because it's just been sitting there for the whole year. So when Lord Chaitanya was present 500 or so years ago, and he was living there in Jagannath Puri, he was living there for 18 years. So every year, on that day before the Rathayatra, before the deities would come, he would get all of his associates and devotees and followers and his whole team of hundreds of devotees, get them all together, and they would go down to the Gundicha temple and they would clean it. And when I say they would clean it, I do not mean they would take a mop, on a stick, stick it in the water and sort of wave it around a bit so that you move the dirt from here to there. But they would really get into it on their hands and knees and just clean that temple. So it was a big event. It was a big event, and all the devotees would get so excited and get completely into the spirit of it and clean the temple till it was spotless. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 12th chapter, if you want to read it, there is a detailed, very nice description of one of those occasions, one of the years, Lord Chaitanya getting all the devotees and cleaning the temple. And that cleaning process is compared to cleaning our hearts. So we'll get into how it relates to cleaning our hearts shortly. But basically what happened was Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees gathered there. There's a river not far away, and they formed a chain, human chain. They had big clay water pots. They're passing water up the chain and passing the empty pots down the chain. A few hundred devotees and then a few hundred more in the temple and cleaning, really cleaning the floor and the walls and the ceiling. Serious, serious cleaning. And Lord Chaitanya himself, even though he's the Supreme Lord, he really got into it himself. He was cleaning like 100 people. And in order to inspire the devotees and get the devotees into it more, Lord Chaitanya made a competition of it. Who can collect the most dirt? And he would go around and check. What's your name? Aradhana. Okay, Aradhana, how much dirt do you have? Okay, not bad. And Sadhana, how much dirt do you have? All right, okay, that's not bad. But someone else, maybe Kirshni, maybe I shouldn't say it, but someone else, wouldn't have collected so much dirt. I'm sure not Krishna at all, but someone. And Lord Chaitanya, in order to sort of, you know, wake them up a bit, he would use a little transcendental sarcasm and say, "Oh, look how much dirt you've got. You've got so much dirt. Look how you've got so much more than sadhana." And then the person would see that actually they've got quite a bit less. And then they'd feel embarrassed. And then they'd get into it more. So like this, Lord Chaitanya got everyone cleaning and cleaning. And they, you know, they were using different implements, brushes, brooms, cloths, and other things. And there are all these pots of water coming in and the empty pots going out and water being thrown all over the place. And whenever anyone wanted something, like some water, "I need some water here," they wouldn't just say, "Hey, bring some water over here." You know what they would do? They would call out, "Krishna, Krishna!" And the devotees would get the idea. What would they call out?
"Krishna, Krishna!"
Not like that. You know, you wouldn't get anything if you called out like that. What did they call out?
"Krishna, Krishna!"
Okay, that's better. And so then the devotees would supply whatever it was. So the holy names of the Lord were just resounding on this side and that side and the other side and all around. And there was just so much transcendental energy and devotional energy, because it is directly service to the Lord. And they were just inspired to serve the Lord as nicely as they could. So Lord Chaitanya, he was, you know, inspiring them, encouraging them in different ways. Plus, he was also cleaning and gathering dirt himself. And finally, that temple was spotless. Just spotless. And Lord Chaitanya had them take all their piles of dirt out and placed them there, and they sat by their piles of dirt, and there's Aradhana with hers, and, you know, like this. And he went around and judged. And you know what? Lord Chaitanya had collected more dirt than everybody else put together. More than everybody. There is a specific point to that. We'll come to it shortly. And those who were the losers had to purchase lots of sweets. And I don't mean like 1 cent lollipops or, you know, something like this. I mean real serious sweets like rasgulla, rasmalai, and of course laddu, burfi, but how about rubbery? Are you familiar with rubbery? Oh, Hare Krishna. These are real sweets. And what about chum chum? Are you familiar with chum chum? No, that's terrible. You have not lived. So the losers had to provide all these sweets and serve the others. But anyway, before they got to that point, Lord Chaitanya, having judged who's the winner, Lord Chaitanya then did a very extraordinary thing. Lord Chaitanya told the devotees, "All right, let us go back into the temple and clean it a second time. And the devotees thought, what? Clean it a second time? It's clean. It's really clean. It's not just clean. It's practically super clean, just sparkling. You know, what's the point? There's no point. Why waste our time cleaning it again? But Lord Chaitanya insisted, and they had to go in, and they cleaned it again. And again, it was the same sort of program. Lord Chaitanya was cleaning the altar, which of course was empty because it's waiting for the deities to come. So he was cleaning the altar. He was on the altar, just a simple sort of box type structure. And he was on the top, and he's cleaning and cleaning on his hands and knees, with his feet sticking over the edge. And one devotee, very intelligent and inspired devotee, he got a pot of water and, acting nonchalantly, like, life is going on, it's okay, it's just everything's happening, sure, fine. He went over to where Lord Chaitanya was and sort of, you know, looking in the other direction, but taking careful aim. He poured the water over Lord Chaitanya's feet. And one other devotee jumped in and grabbed it after it had washed Lord Chaitanya's feet and drank it. And Lord Chaitanya, he was extremely sensitive about people trying to wash his feet and take the water and drink it. He was very sensitive, and he would not allow it. And he would actually get upset if people did it or tried to do it. So he caught this fellow drinking the water, and he threw him out. Just get out. How dare you do this? Just go. So the devotee had to go. And then Lord Chaitanya went, that devotee was from Bengal. Lord Chaitanya went to Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was the leader of the devotees from Bengal, and he said, did you see what your Bengali devotee did? Did you see it? And he explained. But inwardly, Lord Chaitanya was happy. Externally, he was angry. Internally, he was happy that the devotee was appreciating and respecting him like that. So anyway, they cleaned the temple again. And again, you know, everyone has to get their pile of dirt, and there's a competition. And they took the piles of dirt out. And you know what? The second time, they got more dirt than the first time. And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't understand. How was it possible? But there it was. And again, the second time, Lord Chaitanya got more dirt than everybody else put together. Amazing. So, Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila chapter 12, verse 135, Srila Prabhupada gives an elaborate purport. It's over like at least 3 or 4 pages, something like that. And he's referring actually to the purports of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his own spiritual master, on that subject. And at length, he is explaining that process of cleaning and the two cleanings, and how much dirt, and all these different elements in the descriptions. He's explaining it all in the context of representing the processes that the devotees go through as they try to progress in Krishna consciousness and try to develop their relationships with the Lord and develop as devotees and improve their devotional service, the quality and the quantity of their devotional service to the Lord. So, Prabhupada's explanation in very simple terms is that he says the first cleaning represents the amount of cleaning of the heart which occurs so that the devotee, the practicing devotee, can come to the point where they can follow the regulative principles without too much difficulty, without it being, you know, like a struggle or some sort of, you know, battle situation. How am I going to give up this? How am I going to give up that? But one can comfortably live free from those things through being engaged in devotional service to the Lord. So those regulative principles, of course, therefore, I'm sure you all know them. Whenever we have initiations, the devotees have to vow to follow those principles, and they have to tell us what are those principles they're vowing to uphold. And not exactly inevitably, but it definitely happens, you know, in a number of initiation programs, someone forgets one of the regulative principles and they get stuck. But then usually the devotees remind them. So the four regulative principles: no meat eating, no meat, fish, eggs, and a few other things. No intoxication, including tea and coffee. No gambling and other, you know, like useless or speculative activities. And no illicit sex life. So, of course, you know, people, when they come to Krishna consciousness, at least people brought up in a Western environment, or any environment really, but particularly people brought up in a Western environment, adults, you know, doing these four activities, they're so common. Normally most people are doing all of them. Yeah. Or at least, you know, three of the four, like that. And for some people, it's a real struggle. Giving up eating meat. Whew, how am I going to do it? Something like that. And sometimes people ask us, how did you give up eating meat? How did you give up whatever, something? Intoxication, how did you ever give it up? And we tell them that the thing is that if you engage in devotional service, chanting the names of the Lord, associating with the devotees, attending the programs, and doing some practical service, like, for example, helping put on a festival like we just had Janmashtami a few days ago. So devotees from the congregation, they come and they help do this and do that and cook and clean and just get involved. There's so many things going on. Or like Rath Yatra, there's normally a good couple of thousand devotees behind the scenes doing all, you know, keeping all the different programs going on, that service. So through engaging the senses and the mind, through engaging ourselves in these activities of devotional service, the heart becomes purified and one becomes free from the attractions and attachments to those four activities and other things also. But particularly, they are like the main problem areas for people when they first begin spiritual life. So sometimes people ask, how did you give it up? And the point is that it's not exactly, it may not be, it's usually not exactly that like we give it up in the sense of like we fight it off. The desire to smoke. There I was. I wanted to smoke. I had to. But then I became like a spiritual warrior and I bashed that desire down and I just said, no, no way. So you become like a spiritual athlete and you fight off these things. It's not really that. Certainly it's not that so much. But through engaging the mind and the senses in service to the Lord, one develops a higher taste, a spiritual taste, through engaging in spiritual activity, service to the Lord. And as you develop that higher taste, then those other things, well, you just lose interest. And you don't have to kind of fight off the packet of cigarettes or the packet of Five Roses tea or something like that, or your Bollywood video collection, or what is it, Sazbi Kabi Bahuti, is that it? Choti Bahu, yeah? You just lose interest because you're getting a higher experience. An example which is given, which is a very good example, is that if Sean, this is Sean, has 1,000 rands and Gopal Raj, this is Gopal Raj, has 10 rands, and if Sean says, look, I'll give you the 1,000 rands if you give me your 10 rands. Then, of course, Gopal Raj will say, oh, sure, take my 10 rands. Take it, go on. Because he's getting something higher. And it's not going to be a struggle. How will I give up my 10 rands? No, he'll want to. But if Sean has no rands at all, and Gopal Raj has his 10 rands, and Sean says, I will give you nothing, but you give me 10 rands, suddenly that 10 rands becomes very valuable, and he doesn't want to give it up. Before, he was, come on, take it, here it is. So you see, it's a question of taste, the experience that you'll get. So, when devotees engage their minds and senses in activities of devotional service, they get that higher spiritual taste. It's completely in another dimension. And giving up all these things, meat, fish, eggs, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, it's just like, you know, it's no problem at all. In fact, one becomes very happy to become free of them. So one can focus on those better activities and get so much more of the better experience. And therefore, when people say, how did you give up whatever it is, say meat eating, then we respond that actually, I didn't really give up meat eating. the meat gave me up. I just woke up one morning and it was gone and I just wasn't interested. So, yes. So this is what the first cleaning represents. Cleaning the heart to that point where you can comfortably follow the regulative principles, at least without it being like a big strain and, you know, sometimes we may lose it, something like that. In other words, which is the point at which a devotee generally may be ready enough to become initiated and really make some commitment in Krishna consciousness. But then there was the second cleaning. You know, some devotees, they get into Krishna consciousness and they think, okay, where am I going to go? Where do I want to go in Krishna consciousness? What do I want to achieve? And then they see devotees who are initiated and they think, right, that's it. That's what I want. I want to be initiated. And so, therefore, they apply themselves and they come to that point where they get initiated. Very good. But now the thing is, as far as they're concerned, they have reached the goal. They have perfected their lives. That was it. They've reached the goal. And so it happens sometimes that devotees get initiated and then they disappear. And we just don't see them. Maybe Janmashtami. Or something like that. Or, you know, maybe Sunday afternoon program at the end of the... Well, anyway, at whatever time prasadam is just being served. You know, when I joined in London, we would have before prasadam was served, before the feast was served, was the arati. And some people would come in at the just as the arati was concluding, while the devotee is waving the fan, the last item offered in the arati ceremony. And we would call those people who would come in at that time, we would call them Krishna's fan club. Because they came in when the fan was, and otherwise you didn't see them. Okay, anyway. So, but now there was the second cleaning. Some people would think, and those devotees thought, why? It's clean. And some devotees think, now I'm initiated. I made it. I'm there. Why do I need to bother with, you know, trying for something more? But Lord Chaitanya insisted. And that second cleaning process, it involved cleaning in terms of our comparison here. It represents cleaning out more subtle contaminations, more subtle than just the gross things like drinking and smoking and all these types of things, more subtle things, which were mentioned in the verse which we read. Let me just quickly go through them. There's six. Kutinati, which basically means duplicity, being two-faced. Pratishtasa, the desire for name and fame amongst the devotees, to become a prominent devotee. Jiva Himsa, envy of other living entities. Nishid Acha, accepting things forbidden in scripture. Kama, the desire for material gain through Krishna consciousness, through devotional service, trying to achieve some material gain through serving. And puja, the desire to be worshipped. as distinct from just becoming a bit famous, you know, a well-known devotee. Oh, look, there goes Aradhana. Wow, important devotee. Excuse me. But actually wanting to be worshipped as such. So these are more subtle. They're more subtle. But don't forget, in the second cleaning, what happened? They got more dirt than the first cleaning. In other words, they're considered more dangerous. And they're like more advanced problems. They're problems on different levels. They're simple problems and more complex problems. So these are more complex problems. Duplicity, you know, trying to put on a front in front of the devotees. We go to the temple on Sunday and we have got our first class dhoti and kurta on, freshly ironed, and our sari and so on. Oh, from Poppet Lal's, the latest. And our tilak looks, my gosh, like Michelangelo painted it on. And our hand is permanently in the bead bag. And devotees think, wow, what an advanced devotee. But as soon as you get home and close the door and check no one snuck in behind you, then, you know, on comes the theme song for Dilwale Dulhana Le Jayenge, or something, you know what I mean. Some nonsense, basically. So it's duplicity. Rather, we should be very honest. And if we have problems, then, you know, we should be honest. You know, you don't have to tell the world, but at least you should have at least one person, like an advisor or guide, mentor, who you can actually explain your situation to and who can give useful input and help you, rather than put on a front and everyone thinks you're fine, but one day you're not there. Because you just disappeared into the material world again. Then pratishtha, the desire for name and fame, somehow get some position. You know, we've seen people, they couldn't get a position in the divine life. So they went to the Ramakrishna, they couldn't get a position there. And they came to Hare Krishna and they, you know, wanted a position, they couldn't get a position. And off they went. You know, you get people like this. And, you know, they want a bit of name and fame. So if sometime, for example, just as an example, devotees may be distributing books and the scores, so to speak, how many books distributed, are read out the next day. And you did very well. But you're very attached to it and you want to be known as a famous book distributor. But the next day when they read out the scores, somehow they miss your name. And then you become upset. It means you're suffering with this particular problem. Jiva Himsa, envy of other living entities, Prabhupada says here that it actually means stopping the preaching, stopping, not just stopping the preaching, but stopping preaching. And rather than make an effort to help give people Krishna consciousness, we just sit down and, as they say in Chatsworth, park off. Yeah, just park off. That's it. Because, you know, they've achieved what they wanted. Now, no need to make an effort. Just park off. you know, there are different sort of situations in which that concept can be applied. I will not talk about it too much here. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But actually, like we mentioned, the process is not just fighting against the things, you know, materialistic things, which are not good for your spiritual life, but you're still attracted to them because you've been brought up in that way and, you know, habituated to these things. Like when I was in London, we would go out distributing books. That was what I was doing for years, every day in central London. And the police, would you believe it, would arrest us. Yes. And lock us up for distributing books on the street. And we would have to appear in court and get fined £5. But it was sort of like a ritual, which we did. And, you know, I got arrested. I just couldn't tell you how many times. But a minimum 50 times, minimum possibly 100 times, and had to pay £5. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at a criminal. But the thing is, the point I was going to make is that, you know, normally they'd arrest us, take us to the police station, take our name and details and all that, and let us go. And we'd have to come back in court the next morning. So we'd do that. And then we'd have to go into the back, into the cells, and wait till we're called out, you know, for the case. So, you know, we'd wait there with all these really, you know, sort of different types of people. Really. I mean, some really strange people. But on the walls in the cells would be advertisements for Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Smokers Anonymous, and would you believe, Tea Drinkers Anonymous. I'm serious, because it's addictive. And people become addicted, yeah, you know, 25 cups a day for years, and they actually become addicted. So, right, so it's not just a matter of becoming very strong, you know, like a spiritual Rambo, so we can fight off, you know, whatever material desire it may be, we just, you know, bash it and it's gone. That's not the process. You know, of course, if some desire comes for some unwanted thing, we have to resist it. But actually, the process is to absorb oneself in devotional service. Engage the mind and the senses in practical activities of service to the Lord. And in this way, we become elevated and we become independent. We become free from those material desires through engaging in service, beginning with chanting, but you know, all different activities, and preaching. Prabhupada here is talking about preaching, that violence to other living entities can be taken to indicate or mean that we stop making that effort to give other people Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Then Nishad Acha, accepting things forbidden in scripture. You know, we have our regulative principles, certain things, for example, we're not meant to eat. So when you go to the supermarket, you must look on the label, right? And not just close your eyes and buy things. And I must say, devotees, listen to this, that people like me, I travel around so much and I stay in people's houses or all over the world. I don't know how many people's houses, but really a lot over the last 40 years. And you know what we do sometimes when they're not looking? We check the fridge to see what's in there. And how many times have I found, like, some pickle, for example, commercial pickle, and you look on the list of ingredients and there's onions and garlic, right? How many times? I couldn't say, but really a lot. Not everywhere, but, you know, these things happen because we're accepting things forbidden in Scripture. We're not really worrying about it too much. Yeah, okay. So then there's karma, the desire for material gain through Krishna consciousness. We're trying to use Krishna consciousness to sort of progress materially. Like, kind of amusing example, but very real example that we've experienced. There was one boy, young man, living in our temple in London years and years ago. And whenever a young girl would come, I mean, you know, like 20-ish or whatever, he would have to preach to her. Oh, yes. Every time. All the young girls. And some young man would come. He wouldn't really bother with him. But when the young girl would come, there he was. And we noticed. And we said, listen, you know, it may be better if the ladies, our ladies, devotees, preach to the ladies, and you as a man, you preach to the young men. And he got kind of indignant about it. Prabhu, I am preaching Krishna consciousness. Anyway, you know what happened, don't you? In the end, he ran off with one of those girls. Seriously. This is using Krishna consciousness for material gain. You know, yeah. I mean, which is different, for example, from someone who's a devotee, who's unmarried, but understanding that because of my nature, I will be better off being married to a devotee in Krishna consciousness. But here we're talking about sort of being exploitative of Krishna consciousness for material gain. And then puja, hankering for popularity and desiring to be worshipped. So these are more subtle contaminations, but they may be more difficult contaminations, which kind of hang on for a longer time than just some attraction to activities against the actual regulative principles. So it's interesting that that's the second level, like a higher level of problem, something to think about. And it's also extremely important. Please get it. Please get it. If you get this, you've got a lot. You know, you've really got something of extreme value in Krishna consciousness. The way to progress and deal with these things is not, like we said, to become a spiritual Superman or Batwoman, someone like that, you know, and just fight with your material desires. But the process is to engage in devotional service. That is the process. Beginning with chanting, but it doesn't end with chanting. But it involves engaging in so many practical activities of service to the Lord and absorbing the mind in them. Not like, you know, sometimes it happens. It's the Sunday feast. Somehow you end up talking to someone till late and you're about to leave. Everybody else is gone. You're the last one. And the temple president or representative comes up and says, oh, would you mind washing all the pots? And it's like 8 o'clock at night or something, and there are 30 big pots. And you think, what? Oh no. Oh no. Why me? Like it's work. I gotta wash the pots. Oh no, it's just terrible. But it's not terrible. It's devotional service. It's devotional service, and we should try and see these activities like that. And if we can absorb ourselves in these activities, then we'll find they are relishable, amazing, because we're getting a higher taste, spiritual taste, through engaging the mind and senses in activities of service to Krishna, connecting with Krishna, and we get wonderful spiritual taste. And you know what was my first service when I joined the temple in London almost 42 years ago? You know what it was? I became the pot washer. And the temple was really poor. Really poor. So we didn't have hot water at all. And this is London, and it was like January, which is the northern winter, and it's cold. And not only that, we didn't have dishwashing liquid. But we did have, you know, these sort of metal Brillo pads. And it was, you know, it was real exercise, cleaning the pots with cold water and without soap. So you might think, oh, that's not very nice. But you get absorbed in it because it's service to the Lord. And it's wonderful. It's amazing. It's so much better than just, you know, just some ordinary activity, material activity. And last point, final point, let us conclude by just reminding ourselves what was the last point, was that Lord Chaitanya, both times, got more dirt than all the other devotees put together. This means that we have to try our best. We definitely have to try our best. And all those devotees there cleaning, they really tried their best. But still, ultimately, the mercy of the Lord is the main factor. Doesn't mean you sit back and say, okay, Krishna, I'm ready. Give me the mercy. Here I am. I'm sitting here, you know, easy target. Just give me the mercy. No, you got to try your best. And one devotee said, I don't think it was Prabhupada, but I think it's a good one. When we're rendering service, we should try our best like it completely depends on us. But we should be completely convinced that it completely depends on Krishna. Yeah. But we should try our best like it depends on us. Not like half-hearted, yes, I'll do something. And Krishna's going to, you know, give the results, so I don't need to worry too much. We should really try our best, but understand, ultimately, the mercy of the Lord is the main factor. Prabhupada would say, you take one step towards Krishna, means you do something for Krishna, engage in Krishna consciousness, engage in his service. You take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. His mercy is always the main factor. But still, we must really try our best. And what's our best? Well, it depends on the individual. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. And what do we have? A couple of questions. Well, you know, it's very Krishna conscious, although I must say it's off topic. We heard of Krishna's appearance. Can you speak of his disappearance? How did he depart from this material existence? Well, you know what you need to do if you want to really get into it and really find out all the details. You need to get a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you need to read it. They're two different things. The decorative set of Srimad Bhagavatam and reading. And you'll find the last chapter, or maybe it's a couple of chapters, of the 11th canto is the story of the disappearance of Lord Krishna. It's quite a story. It's quite a story. But basically, Krishna had finished his pastimes. His mission was over. It was time to return to the kingdom of God from where he had come some years before, 125 years before. But he didn't want to just go. There's a whole pastime involved. And like I said, you know, if you want to go into it, you should read that because it's quite something. But basically what happened was that Krishna caused his family members to become bewildered at a place called Prabhasa Kshetra. It's on the coast of Gujarat. It's still there, Prabhas. Not so far from Dwarka. A little distance from Dwarka. So they became bewildered. And you may know that in the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhagavad Gita, in the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was on the side of Arjuna, but he didn't fight. But the deal was, his army was on the other side and fought. So, you know, not many survived, but some did. So, on the beach at Prabhas, they became bewildered. Those who had fought against Krishna, because that was the deal, even though they were from his army, and then those who somehow or other, like Satyaki, was the commander of Krishna's army, but he ended up on the side of Krishna somehow and survived the battle. So Satyaki and others from Krishna's army who remained on Krishna's side started ridiculing those who had been on the other side and survived. That what sort of kshatriyas are you? What sort of warriors are you? You're losers. You're useless. You call yourselves warriors? Actually, they became intoxicated. They drank rice wine. And so a great battle took place. And they were annihilated. The whole dynasty was annihilated. I forget the exact figure, but it's something like 560 million. Were annihilated, and only Krishna and Balaram remained. Only Krishna and Balaram remained. And Krishna, what Krishna did, he went and sat under a banyan tree. It's a bit of a long story, I must say. But one hunter came and fired an arrow, which had a particular arrow head. I won't go into that. Get your Srimad Bhagavatam, read the end of the 11th canto. It is quite a story. And he fired an arrow with that special arrowhead at Krishna's foot, thinking it was an animal. The arrow struck Krishna's foot, and actually it doesn't say it struck his foot, but he fired at his foot. And then Krishna decided to just leave. And Krishna then flew through the universe. You may have seen, there's a nice picture, nice painting. The demigods are on their planets like on the clouds, and Krishna is coming through. The demigods were watching Krishna as he came up through the universe, thinking he's going to land on our planet. This planet, that planet, different planets of the demigods. But he didn't. He just went through and went to Goloka Vrindavan. But the thing is, you know, ultimately for the devotees, we understand Krishna's still here. Kali Kale, Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. In the Kali Yuga, the Krishna Avatar is Nama Rupe, the Lord in the form of his name. So he's still with us. And that departure, it's just his pastime. And when you read the whole thing, you'll see it's just a big pastime. Okay, last question. Srila Prabhupada taught that we should use our intelligence and that we should be practical. How do we guard against rationalizing or justifying our shortcomings by saying that we are making adjustments due to time, place, and circumstances? Well, you know, I'd say a simple answer to that is you need some good Krishna-conscious friends who kind of, you know, they're watching you. And when they see that you make a little sort of a turn off the path slightly, they jump in and say, hey, what are you doing? Yeah. You know the story of Bharat Maharaj in the 6th canto? He renounced the kingdom, went to the forest to become like a hermit, renunciate, and finish his life up in a hermit-type position. But he chose not to go and live with other devotees in the forest. He chose to live on his own. And then the deer came and gave birth to a little baby deer, and the mother deer died. And he took that deer, the baby deer, and became totally overwhelmed by this deer. And he got into deer consciousness. The deer became his life and soul. And he forgot Krishna. I mean, we're not anti-deer, but the thing is, you know, the Lord is the goal of our lives. Yeah. So anyway, the point in this regard is that it is said that what happened to him was he made the mistake of not going and living with other devotees, but going and living on his own. And then when the situation arose, there was no one to tell him, hey, okay, look, you know, feed the deer, that's nice. Be nice to the deer, okay. But don't devote your whole life to the deer. Yeah. There was no one there to correct him. And this is one of the main, you know, like benefits of being in a society of devotees, that sooner or later, if you start going off a bit, sooner or later someone's going to say and come up and tell you that, look, you know, you're going off track. Yeah. So, yeah, in principle, that's what I'd say about that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Or Kumara Prabhupada. Kirtan. Okay. So we'll have a little kirtan. Shall we sit down or shall we stand up? Stand up? Ready to stand up? Okay. We'll have an arti. Okay.
The battery just died. Oh, such a good class.
Can we just have your attention again? Or should we do? Or maybe after the curtain. Okay.
We just want your attention so that you pay attention to the curtain. I'll try and see. We'll see how it goes. That's okay, don't you? Oh, we got a minute. Oh, we got a minute.
I think both.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody sing. Everybody. Sing for your supper. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody sing, sing for your supper. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON's Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anant Kuri Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Shishi Radha Radhanath Ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki, Sri Giri Govardhan Ki, Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki, ISKCON South Coast, Yatra Ki, Kopremanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, everybody. So thank you very much for listening so attentively to Maharaj. I'm not going to do that. So should Maharaj go on his